I think Earth Month is really special to our team and to me because it's a moment that allows people to take a pause, reflect on what the Earth and all of its creatures mean to us.
Understanding our planet is the first step towards protecting it. To protect nature, protect the Earth. We do it all year round, but Earth Month gives us that opportunity to showcase those efforts.
This is pure magic, I would say. Welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. So on today's episode, we're exploring how the Walt Disney Company brings conservation, science, and storytelling together, from powerful documentaries and global storytelling campaigns to immersive guest experiences and real-world conservation impact. Joining me today are two leaders bringing these stories to life. Welcome to the podcast, Janet, Senior Vice President, Development and Production, National Geographic Content, and Dr. Mark, Vice President, Disney's Animals, Science, and Environment.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
It's a pleasure.
We're so delighted to have you here. And you know what? We'd love to kick off with a fun little challenge. So before we dive into, of course, Earth Month and all the incredible work your teams are doing, we like to start with a little context for our listeners. So I'm going to challenge each of you to take us through your Disney journey in 60 seconds or less. I'm sure that sounds very impossible because of all the incredible work you've done. But so we want to know basically if you can share how you came to Disney, the roles you've held along the way, and maybe a favorite project or two that you've been a part of. Do you think you're ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
I'll try.
Who wants to go first? I want to know, Janet or Dr. Mark?
No, should you do paper, scissors, rock?
Oh, I think Dr. Mark, Janet was encouraging you there, to say the least.
I'm happy to start. And so time me, I'd love to hear where we land, because Janet and I are very competitive, you know.
Okay, let me start the timer. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, Dr. Mark, go.
My Disney journey is rather different. I come from South Africa. I was working as a veterinarian in South Africa with Disney folks doing vasectomies on elephant bulls, of all things. And I served as president of the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums and got to work with Disney folks there as well. And one thing led to another, and I was approached about taking this opportunity, and I have been with the company now 14 amazing years, protecting wildlife, taking great care of animals, and giving guests unforgettable, memorable experiences.
In 42... if we round 43 seconds, you did that. Wow, that's incredible. And Dr. Mark, I actually am celebrating 14 years with the company this year too. So we're in good, this is good company. I love this already.
Love
okay. You. All right. Okay. So Janet, I mean, we got a 43 second on the counter for Dr. Mark. Are you ready for this?
Wow, that's a challenge. And I'm already feeling a little heated because he started off with elephants and how can I compete? I started at National Geographic and now Disney over 20 years. If I say exactly, I'm going to feel really old. So it's been many years, but I've had many roles here from Vice President of International Acquisitions to Head of Development for Nat Geo Wild to my current position, which is managing the natural history slate for National Geographic and the Disney Plus platform. And I'm just thrilled to share this podcast with Dr. Mark. We've had the pleasure of working together for many years. And I'm really happy to be here talking about some of the shows that are coming up. And I know you asked what are some of the good projects that I'm working on right now. The project that I'm really proud of right now is Secrets of the Bees, which is actually a feature for Earth Day. So with that, I'll turn it back. How did I do?
Okay, you literally hit like a minute. Like you, that was perfect. I think I was so enthralled with what you were saying that I think it might have actually been 59 seconds. The team will have to keep me honest.
Okay.
You did it. That's incredible. Let's just say you did it very well. And I am just completely so excited to dive in more to talk to both of you today. Okay, so we're here because, of course, Earth Month. It's a huge celebration at Disney. And obviously, we can see that work and commitment continue all year round. So I'm really excited for us to be able to spotlight the work of your teams and give our listeners a peek at what it takes to bring all of that together. I have a question to start. How do your teams think about Earth Month as both a celebration and a call to action?
Shall I start with this one, Janet?
Yes.
It's a lovely question, and I appreciate you asking that, because the work that we do to protect nature, protect the earth, we do it all year round. But Earth Month gives us that opportunity to showcase those efforts. We look at reducing our environmental footprint as a company. It's something we do all year round. We look at taking the best care of our animals. We look at protecting wildlife through the work that we do, but also philanthropic grants through our Disney Conservation Fund. And all of these things we do because we want Disney to be the place that inspires a lifelong love of nature. And Earth Month is how we showcase that.
Great. For us, it's very similar to Dr. Mark's team. We're always talking about animals. Animals are the subject of all of our films, especially on my team. So it's a 24-hour theme that we work with. I think Earth Month is really special to our team and to me because it's a moment, I feel like, that allows people to take a pause, reflect on what the earth and all of its creatures mean to us. And so it's like the birthday for the earth. So it's a wonderful time to celebrate and just take all the beauty and the aspects of it and really appreciate them. Like us, we celebrate everyone's birthday once a year, and it's a time for reflection. It's a time to be appreciative. It's a time to say thank you and wishing them a great future. So I feel like Earth Month or Earth Day is the same thing. We're just celebrating the Earth's birthday and appreciating it.
I don't think I thought about it like that before, but the Earth's birthday, I really love that. Okay, another thing, Janet, I think you're getting up there with Dr. Mark. I just celebrated my birthday, so I'm feeling like the celebrations, all of that. I have 14 years in common with Dr. Mark, so I'm loving this so much already. But I think really Excellent. Also too, with Dr. Mark, you said the lifelong love of nature. I love that inspiring just point of view through all of this. So National Geographic has a long legacy of science-driven, purpose-led storytelling. How do you think about honoring that legacy while continuing to evolve within the broader Disney ecosystem?
That's a great question. I think science is the heart of our storytelling, especially when you have the responsibility of reflecting two incredible brands like National Geographic and Disney. We use it in multitude of ways. One, through science, we get to tell the best stories. We have, through National Geographic Explorers, we are on the cutting edge of finding those new discoveries, the new species, the new behavior. And for any entertaining television, you want to show something new, a new character, a new storyline. And only through science are you going to be able to do that in my neck of the woods. Finding out, dispelling stories of a certain creature, understanding, finding empathy, celebrating something as small. And what I love about the popularity of this show that we just created called Secrets of the Bees is that everyone who's seen it all say, wow, I love the bees. And it's so amazing because people are seeing bees not as this stinging vessel or something to be afraid of. They're celebrating it. And that just gives me so much joy. And it's all about giving the science away in our storytelling in an entertaining way. And of course, beautiful cinematography. But it distinguishes us from everyone else. Science is at the heart of what we do. It's at the heart of what Dr. Mark and what Disney's Animal Kingdom does. It's about information sharing. And I think that invokes the curiosity in everybody. And I think that's our driving force, our success. And it makes us very different from everyone else.
I love that. It sounds like it's like a dismantling of like this false perception when we're talking about the bees. And then you're giving way to like rebuilding this exciting like way to connect to the bees, which are very critical to us. Mm-hmm. And so I love just hearing how you talk about that. I also know there's a bit of a personal connection for you, though, as a beekeeper. How did that influence your approach to this project?
Oh, It was, first of all, I have to thank my two bosses, Tom and Courtney, because I've been, okay, so a little bit background. I've been a beekeeper for over 10 years, and I became a beekeeper for the sole reason of pollination, not that because I loved honey. I've been an avid gardener since my grandmother taught me how to garden when I was 5 years old, and it's been something that I have, it's my, I love it. It's my favorite place in the world. And over the years in keeping a garden, I used to have this flower field around my patio. And one day I woke up and was having coffee and I noticed something. It was quiet. I didn't hear the cacophony of bees buzzing. And that I literally turned around and went, "What the heck is happening here?" And that was during the time of colony collapse, and there was a whole awareness about the perils of what was happening to our bees. And I had just transplanted a very old plant, a tree actually, from my parents' house that they had sold. And I was like headset on keeping this tree that was in our family for many years, transporting it. It was a mega move. And I transported it to my house to replant it. And I was waiting for all the flowers to bloom and get pollinated for persimmons. I couldn't find very many bees, and that frightened me. And I decided at that moment I was going to be a beekeeper because I felt like the world needed more pollinators. So it's been a very close and personal species. I still am a beekeeper, and I felt that the world needed to know how important bees were, not just honeybees, but all kinds of bees. And a few years ago, I went to my boss. And I said, "I want to make Secrets of." And he said, "Sure, of course, the franchise." And he said, "What's your next animal?" And I said, "Bees." And he was like, "Really?" And I said, "Okay." He said, "Most people are scared of them." And I said, No, I'm going to make the one that everyone's going to love. People are going to be transformed." And I remember the executive producer who was overseeing, she was like, "Oh, I don't like bees." I said, "The goal will be for you to change your mind while we do this." And she called me one day. She said, "I'm a bee lover now. I'm a bee lover. I've been
Wow.
convinced." So I'm hoping that is the mood and the viewing experience by everyone. And I had a secret mission, personal mission, that everyone who watches this will be convinced how important bees are and will do something as part of Earth Day or their life to make their lives better. Because through that, they're going to make our lives better. Sorry, I went on a little bit longer about that.
No, Janet, I'm inspired right now. I'm ready to go get a persimmon and then become a pollinator with that story.
Okay.
So I love that. And also, too, I think you can just tell your passion. And I just think that's so exciting. Like, just with some of those examples that you shared, like your goals, you've talked about the curiosity and then just the shift in the way the perception is of such critical creatures. So, yes.
Absolutely.
Curiosity and the care is shining through just in the way that you're talking. I think for me personally, one of the greatest and like most fascinating things is the production on this. And it's always fascinating to me to see animals in their environments and things like that. But so, how do you balance all of that? There's the scientific rigor, there's the emotional storytelling, and the visual awe. And then you're really obviously trying to maintain that goal of curiosity and care. How do you balance all of that recipe?
I think, first of all, you hit a note. You have to have passion and you have to have a love of animals. And I will say that everyone on my team, loving animals is a requirement. And I think that says a lot about what we want to infuse in our shows. But it's also about what is the story we haven't told yet? What perspective that can we share? What visual splendor can we share? And how do we shoot this? We had an amazing macro cinematographer by the name of Alistair McEwen, who recently this year passed away. And he was the godfather of macro photography and cinematography. And we were unbelievably blessed to have his skills and expertise get us started on this. And we were able to film some of the frames of the honeybees in a way that has never been filmed before. We also had National Geographic explorer Anand Varma, who actually showcased the transformation of a little seed of an egg from a queen into a full-blown mature bee. And some of those features and the way that we shot it, I told Alistair Fothergill, who actually was head of the production company, who made the show for me, I said, the goal here, and he's actually a beekeeper too. So I went to him because I said, I need to go to somebody who understands and loves bees from the beginning and take on this responsibility as heavily as I do. And I said, every shot of this film needs to make a bee look like a gorgeous, cute, adorable stuffed animal. And I think that's what we did. It's about finding the different people who can help tell a unique story, a beautiful story, and propulsive. So I think I was really gifted with all the people who were involved in this.
I was going to say, Janet, I think there's some competition now for Winnie the Pooh. Is that what I'm hearing? You want a plush of bees out
Okay, we're not going to be able to compete with Winnie the Pooh, but I think a cute little bee plushie might be really good.
We'll get them together. I'm going to hold them both
Yeah.
while I watch Secrets of the Bees.
Excellent.
Joining us now for a special segment is National Geographic explorer Dr. Sammy Ramsey, an entomologist featured in Secrets of the Bees for his expertise in bees and pollinator
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Sammy, your friendly neighborhood entomologist, and that really just means I get to play with bugs and people give me money for it. It's pretty incredible. So a long time ago, millions and millions and millions of years ago, all of the plants just reproduced basically with pine cones. It was just kind of their thing. They would shake their pine cones in the air. It would release a huge amount of pollen. That pollen would hopefully land on another plant of the same species, but most of it wouldn't. And it was a huge waste of energy. And then one enterprising pine-bearing plant one day just produced a blob of nectar that was near where all the pollen was. And by attracting an insect to feed on that nectar, it also got coated in pollen and was able to move that from plant to plant. All of the plants pretty much now have some system of pollination that uses the assistance of other organisms to get their pollen from one location to the next. And that means the vast majority of food in our food systems are connected to pollination. And bees are the creatures that have gone all in on pollination. And if we don't take good care of them, if we happen to lose them for some reason or another, we have lost a dramatic, a huge proportion of our food. $220 billion of the world economy is based on the food that is pollinated by these insects. And so we really need to pay attention when they're not doing well. I was really excited to work on this project with National Geographic Explorer at Large, James Cameron. And seeing how he took all of the exciting, whimsical things that he's done in the past and used that as a lens to refine what could easily be a subject that's not that engaging. I mean, people see bugs all the time and don't give them a lot of thought. But he was able to really show you these up close and personal images and videos of these creatures that is absolutely mind-blowing. And to get to be a part of this myself was really incredible because I could talk back and forth and have those moments of saying, well, it'd be really cool if we could show this. It's just been so remarkable to work with a community, a staff of, there were over 100 people working on this documentary in one way or another, and seeing how all of them were using their skill sets to kind of build this out in a way that made it feel like I was working as a part of a hive.
Dr. Mark, we're coming to you next and all of your incredible work at Walt Disney World. Okay, Disney's Animals, Science, and Environment. It's a team that has quite a unique role bringing conservation to life for millions of guests through experiences. We want to know, how does your team translate science and research into moments of connection for guests across Walt Disney World?
Yeah, it's a lovely question. Thank you. I'm a veterinarian by training. We have a lot of scientists and veterinarians and nutritionists and behaviorists. And the way we think about this is, if you imagine two pieces to this, number one is we want to show our guests that really getting and doing what they need that show us these animals are thriving. And examples of that are being able to explore. And when you see a rhino in a mud wallow or a tiger that's rolling around on perfume, that's when you know these animals are living their best life. And that's what we want to see. And then there's the animals in the wild and their habitats, and how are we protecting those? And this is where we leverage our scientists, our team of specialists that just help us do both those things better. And then, of course, storytelling, which Walt Disney was all about. We use stories to share with our guests the things that we do and get our guests excited about it. We love that. And of course, in Earth Month, we put the spotlight on it. And one of the examples I'd love to share with you is how our animals participate in their medical exams. Now, I'm a veterinarian, so I have a bias here. But you could imagine an animal like a tiger or a lion. And again, please, these are not tame animals, right? These are wild animals. We have to be extremely careful. We certainly don't go in with them. But those animals participate with us in their well-being exams. And so this amazing team of keepers we have, will quite literally ask a gorilla to show me your left ear, and he gives you his left ear and you can check his temperature and look in the ear. You can show the signal for open your mouth and it will open its mouth. You can brush its teeth and look for cavities. We get a weight easily. We want to give you an injection, and it will allow us to give an injection. It will allow a blood draw voluntarily. And it's participating because it knows and trusts the keepers. It's developed this relationship of trust. Mm-hmm. And it knows there's a reward that the keeper is going to be giving. For a tiger, it's a squeegee bottle with goat's milk in it. For a gorilla, it's grapes. Whatever it is that animal values as a treat from one of its favorite people, we're able to give that and have the animals participating, working with us in a way that is just amazing to watch. And if you'd like to see this is a plug for Janet and for Nat Geo, because Janet helped put together the magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is this incredible series that you can see on Disney Plus. Go and find it under the Nat Geo tile, and it just tells those stories of how we take care of animals here at Disney's Animal Kingdom, at Animal Kingdom Lodge and at the Seas with Nemo and friends at Epcot. If you haven't seen it, you've got to do it. Janet did such a great job.
And I promise this is not a collab that we prearranged here, because at any minute I was going to jump in and concur with Mark's observation about the animals at Animal Kingdom. As a matter of fact, one of the inspirations of coming to Dr. Mark many years ago and going, I have an idea, I want to do a show about your facility, was my visit to Animal Kingdom many years ago with my two boys. And we spent more time in that park than any of the other parks combined. Shh, don't tell anyone that. And it was the amazing care and the light. You really felt like you were there and in the said country or the habitat they were in. And the animals were seeing animals in the wild so many years. I was like, wow, they really know what they're doing here. And when we became one family, it was one of the first shows I commissioned when Disney Plus actually launched. And then I got to really see behind the curtain. And I can't even tell you, it was my love and joy of that, of the park and the people who work there was exponentially even greater. So I cannot tell you how wonderful the facility is and the care that the team brings. It is something for all of us to be so proud of, that we have such an extraordinary park and extraordinary cast members and team members, and the medical care is bar none the top in the world. Again, this was not prearranged, I'm just saying. And one of the favorite things I actually talked about were the crocodiles. And I said, you know, a lot of hurricanes in Florida, what do you do with them? And they're like, oh, they come. I'm like, what? No, the crocodiles call back and they listen to the keeper to all go inside when the hurricane warnings come. And I said, wow, I almost want to go to the park during a hurricane just to see that. I probably shouldn't. Disney security will probably be mad, but just to see that, I want to be there in a hurricane. And that just shows the kind of care. And because, again, without the trust and the care, no animal is going to follow instructions. So that just is a testament.
Oh, I am someone who has been going to Animal Kingdom for maybe 15, 10 years pretty consistently. And I will say that it blew me away. And I've always needed to go whenever I go to Walt Disney World, because the safari, the gorillas, I literally, the first time I ever saw them, these are creatures you never get to see sometimes for people. And this is their introduction, and the love and the level of detail and everything that you're talking about is just inspiring. And yeah, I was a kid that grew up on Tarzan, and so I loved gorillas. And then you get to go and see them in these environments. And so thank you for what you do and the level of care that you bring to what you do. Because it's as a kid who grew up on movies and then gets to see in life is so cool. And then all the work that you continue to do to create more content and more just, yeah, more love for animals and the earth. Happy birthday, earth, as we say. As now I will say because of you. So I also, as I was talking about movies, one of the most powerful things about Disney is the ability to connect storytelling experiences and action. How do teams like National Geographic and Disney's Animals, Science, and Environment collaborate to amplify shared goals? Pretty much we touched on this in the content, but is there anything else that you want to talk to us about?
Mark, do you want to take a stab?
I think the magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom, as we just talked, is really where we were able to find that sweet spot. And our guests just wanted to know more. And viewers then wanted to come and see the park because they'd seen it on TV and they wanted to meet the people that were involved. So that was just wonderful. But I will say that we collaborate on so many different things. Janet has, with her expertise, so much to contribute to what we do. We like to try and help wherever we can, just because this is what Disney does, I think, better than anybody else out there, is synergy. We find ways where synergy just makes all of us do that much better, and we can leverage different parts of the business in different ways that give us, honestly, in business terms, a competitive advantage. So we're so happy with the partnership with Janet and Nat Geo. We've been very, very pleased, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. Mark's team, the park aside, he also has an incredible connection to the Disney Conservation Fund and the team there, and all the scientists and the conservation that actually work in and recipients of that fund. So when we're looking for, again, scientists in conservation that are doing really groundbreaking work, we will call and say, hey, Mark, do you know somebody in this area that is working on this? And there's a security blanket in getting Mark's recommendation and blessing and a connection. And that means a lot to us because we want to showcase the best work in the field. And to know that we get that blessing from Mark and his team is a shortcut. And, you know, when time is sometimes not on your side, having that filter is amazing. And we want to continue to support people who are doing great work in the field. And so if we have a vehicle to showcase somebody's work that has been part of our Disney and Nat Geo family, of course, that's what we want to do, because it's often the best work that's being done in the fields. We always, when we have an animal question, we always know that we have somebody of great expertise to call.
You're hitting the nail right on the head. At the heart of all of this is people. All the incredible work that you're doing and all the teams that you're working with as well. We want to talk about the future generations. So people out there are going to be hearing this. What role do curiosity and wonder play in shaping how they will care for the planet?
Should I take a stab at this, Mark? I think curiosity is built into human beings. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I am a nature-loving television executive. And from when I was a little kid, immigrant kid from a family of immigrants from Korea, and we didn't have a lot of television, we didn't have a lot of money, but what I had and I spent a lot of time doing was seeking out the little critters out in my yard, and the bugs and the insects and the bees and the butterflies that were on my honeysuckle tree. I even tried to create my own ant farm from the ants that were in our little juniper tree myself. I took a little pickle jar. Okay, I wasn't thinking, but I actually put holes to get them the air. I thought of that, but little did I know that they were all going to crawl out in the middle of the night. But it brought me entertainment. It brought me curiosity. It brought me joy to see these creatures live. And I think that is something that any person, young or old, will always enjoy. And I think that we both have a responsibility to the future to create content, to bring experiences, either at the park or through our films, to continue and strike that curiosity in a way that people will explore their nature right in their backyard, or take trips or go to Animal Kingdom to explore. So that's an ethos of what I keep in mind when making my films. But I think that's also something that the parks do. And it is why I was so hell-bent on creating a series about Animal Kingdom, because I really wanted the rest of the world to see a place that could actually help with that curiosity, stir more curiosity, and create a love for animals and nature.
Yeah, if I may jump in, I think what Janet and her team do so well is leverage the fact that understanding our planet is the first step towards protecting it. And I love the work that they do. And of course, we're trying to do similarly and find those synergies. People want stories of hope. Right? Especially in today's times, there's a lot of negative publicity, a lot of noise. And so people want stories of hope. And we leverage our amazing Disney Conservation Fund to tell stories of hope, because people like to hear success stories. They want to be a part of it. And I must share with you, our Disney Conservation Fund, I am so proud of it. It has directed over $141 million to conservation projects. It has helped to save and protect over 1,000 species in over half the countries of the world, in all five oceans, and on every continent. How can you not feel so proud of the Disney Conservation Fund? And of course, Earth Month gives us that opportunity to showcase the fund. And this year we're celebrating its 30th anniversary.
Oh, an anniversary, a birthday. This is pure magic, I would say. Well, thank you both so much for sharing your insights and for the work you and your teams do to inspire care for our planet. I truly am ready to go watch, listen, and then also pack my bags to go learn even more about the Earth, I promise. Thank you again for just the inspiring conversation, because it really is. It's a reminder that understanding our world is the first step towards protecting it. And as we know, Disney continues to find powerful ways to help people make that connection. And I can't say it enough that I'm so grateful to you for deconstructing a little bit of false perceptions and rebuilding and connecting us and inspiring us to be curious and just appreciate each other in the world. So thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you for allowing us to come together. And Mark, it's great seeing you as always.
Absolute pleasure seeing both of you. Thank you. Let's do it again sometime. But happy Earth Month, happy Earth Day, and happy anniversary to the Disney Conservation Fund.
Great. And happy birthday, Earth.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. And if you want to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit DisneyCareers.com. We'll see you real soon. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaren Kaufman and Sarah Monier. Editing by Brandon Cologne. Social promotions by Hannah Butler. Design and graphics by Delaney Regnier. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. A special thank you to the teams at National Geographic and Disney's Animals, Science, and Environment.